Managing Violence Podcast, episode 78, with the one and only Lee Morrison. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Managing Violence Podcast. My name is Joe Saunders. I am your host each and every week. Those of you that have been following along with our social media know it's been an eventful week this week. We got caught up in a bit of a media ban from Facebook, got kicked off the platform for a little while, but we are back. Everything is back to normal with a few additions. We now have a mailing list as well. I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you'd like to receive email updates from us with it whenever we have a new episode, we have new guests coming up or some good bonuses or some goodies for you. We are going to be also doing a monthly newsletter, which will have articles written by myself and also guest contributors. That's very, very exciting. Looking forward to that. We have also updated our Patreon benefits. There's a bunch of new benefits available and also a whole new tier of membership at patreon.com/managing violence. If you like the idea of doing a bi-monthly webinar with me, a live seminar for you, well, that's one of the benefits. If you'd like a monthly coaching call with me on any topic relating to violence or communication, well, that's one of the benefits as well. So make sure you check out patreon.com/managing violence. And speaking of Patreon, I need to give a big shout out to our newest Patreon contributor, Michelle Balker. Michelle, I've known you for years and it is such an honor to have you contributing to the show in this way. I look forward to working with you in the very, very near future with the next webinar. Folks, we have a very special episode today. Lee Morrison is back. Lee is the founder of Urban Combatives. If you don't know who Lee Morrison is and you're in the martial arts world, I'm not sure what rock you're hiding under. But Lee is a legend of self-defense. He doesn't hold back. He's blunt. He's to the point. You may not agree with everything he says. Hey, I don't agree with absolutely everything Lee says. But he has a point on certain things. He's incredibly knowledgeable. And we had such a long conversation that we're actually going to split it up into two portions. So we're going to do a Lee Morrison part one and a Lee Morrison part two. So that'll be this episode and the following episode. So make sure you stay tuned for that. They're both going to be released this week. So you're going to get two episodes this week. Part one with Lee right now, part two with Lee coming up very, very soon. And we're doing that in lieu of bonus content this week. So this is a bonus to everybody this week, a double dose of Lee Morrison. Folks, we are going to cover a lot of ground in this particular installment. Lee is talking to us about his Tier 1 civilian program. So if you don't know what a Tier 1 civilian is, well, Lee will go into great detail and explain what that is and why you should be one. So without further ado, here is Mr. Lee Morrison. I'm joined here on the Managing Violence Podcast by the one and only Mr. Lee Morrison, our most popular, most downloaded guest in the history of the show. More popular than Tony Blauer, more popular than Jeff Thompson, more popular than Tim Kennedy, more popular than Ken Shamrock, Lee Morrison.
Oh, you know that.
But the most downloaded guest in the history of the Managing Violence Podcast. Lee, great to have you back.
Oh, mate, I'm on it. Very flattered. Thank you for having me back. Very nice. Good show you're running here. You've got some brilliant people on. You've got some more coming. That's really good. It's a really good resource.
We don't intend to slow down anytime soon. And as long as there's a need for the show, then we'll be there. And I can't foresee the need going anywhere.
Oh, mate, there'll always be a need. Trust me, yeah.
Mate, so Lee, look, last we spoke, we covered off on your journey, we covered off on your background, we sort of set the scene of how, I guess in broad strokes, how you got to be where you are, and there was a lot of great feedback from that episode. I mean, it won't be a surprise to you that you ruffled some feathers along the way.
Good.
I'm sure, it's not the first time that you've had a troll in the comments occasionally, but... Mate, I'm very curious to dive a little bit deeper into some of the things that you do. The one that we kind of very, very loosely touched on last time was your Tier 1 civilian concept and material. So I wanted to take an opportunity to sort of dive a little bit deeper into what T1C is, what the genesis of it was. So for those that have no idea what I'm talking about, what are you talking about when you mentioned Tier 1 civilian?
Right, so... Let's rewind about at least 5 to 7 years, where you started to see the threat change and evolve. I'm talking from a UK perspective here. So primarily the main thing that anyone would normally have to deal with would be, you know, one-on-one, two-on-one, multiple assailants, or someone with a weapon. But you certain situations started to happen, namely active threat. So a similar thing in the US would be called an active shooter, because most likely there would be a firearm involved. But an active threat situation, if you took two examples just in London alone, there was multiple armed assailants with ceramic blades and machetes using vehicles to smash into people, then running out and killing everyone. So multiple armed assailants, as bad as it gets, it don't get any worse than that, by committed young people who believe in their cause and will fight for the death. It's a serious enemy. So nothing mainstream that you see in the self-protection sense, and you know, nothing really coming out of anywhere that I'd seen was going to cover that. There was the need for a shift. And in addition to that, you'll start to see various sort of things, which again will fucking ruffle feathers, but I don't give a fuck. And that would be, namely in Europe, you were seeing a huge, massive increase on sexual assault on women due to the immigrant invasion, literally. And you were just getting multiple men gang raping one or two women at a time at knife point. Now, I've taught a lot of women, a lot of good, brave women that can fight. And I don't know of a single skill set that's going to allow any woman equipped to deal with that. There's a need for a shift. And various sort of things stimulate it. Now, regardless of what you think about, you know, active threat, acts of terrorism, false flag, were they all blah, blah, blah. There's all sorts of shit going on. We all know that. And they're all involved. But regardless of that, no one really sussed that back then. And there was a real threat. And regardless of who put who where, armed assailants were attacking people in the street and killing them. So there's a chance, if you live or work in the capital or anywhere where there could have been such a situation, that you could find yourself in it. It's realistic. And I didn't think anyone was ready for that at all. So obviously most people would just, you know, absolutely have no expectation that it was going to happen at all. But if you were a self-protection trainee, let's say, that just trained in the normal way, you'd be totally intimidated by that. Right, absolutely intimidated by that, right? So there was a need. First of all, there was a need to upgrade your unarmed skills to a fucking military level, to the point where you know how to engage a level 10 threat. So a level 10 threat is a level 10 threat of violence to you is potentially deadly force. There's a disparity. You are facing an armed assailant, you're facing multiple assailants, you're a woman against a larger, stronger man, some kind of disparity. But it doesn't get any worse than, you know, multiple armed assailants determined. And the skill set that you would need unarmed would at least need to be able to go to a level 10. And then you would need to go beyond. So how do you shift the normal skills that we use to that level? Simple. Targeting. So all the skills that we implement are gross motor to a high line or a low line target. In the main, you're looking to seduce somebody, put them down, or render them unconscious, right? And it doesn't go beyond that. It hasn't, you see, hasn't gone beyond that. Well, now there's a need to go beyond that. So you need to know, how do I disrupt a human being clinically? From an anatomical point of view, what is the best way to disrupt this adversary's ability to fight or fucking hurt me? And the way to do that would be to, you know, disrupt consciousness, breathing, vision, mobility, or all of them. And you take one, two, or more of those things, you're going to take the will in most cases for any subject to continue. But it would be needed now for you to now learn how to use weapons. So a tier one civilian basic combative skills would be exceptional unarmed skills, right up to the point where, you know, they have the understanding of how to deal with a deadly threat and use deadly force. And also, most importantly, build the seed or the foundation in the mindset to the point where, first of all, you've got to accept shit is getting worse. Shit is getting bad. To the point no one values life anymore. And, you know, people were just willy here. There was just people willy-nilly just running up, stabbing people to death in the street because they could. I mean, it is ridiculously fucking out of hand. And, you know, an extreme level of violence. Now, first of all, you've got to make the person accept that that's going on, and then get them to try and fathom and look for our self-awareness. Where do you stand right now on an emotional, psychological sense to be able to deal with that? I mean, and in terms of dealing with that, you've got to muster and access a level of violence and aggression, and most importantly, willingness in an instant that's got to totally eclipse theirs. There ain't no fucking build up here. You ain't getting sent a telegram. You're facing deadly threat. You need to end it. So if it's coming at you with 10, you want to have 12 on tap. Does that make sense? Well, that's only a certain kind of individual that's going to train that way. So tier one civilian doesn't apply to everyone at all. You know, there's people that don't want to go that far. All I'm saying to you is, if we ended up in a situation where there was societal breakdown, lawlessness, you know, either man-made or nature-made or whatever else, but it happened for a period of time. But all fucking bets are off. You know, primary main violent situation that you're going to face every day now is going to be armed home invasion by multiple assailants. And if you're trying to get supplies anywhere because the food chain's being cut off, you know, you're going to get fucking rammed off the road and robbed. So, you know, fucking unarmed skills ain't going to cut that. And of course, unlike the US, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, UK, Commonwealth countries, really, have been robbed of their, what would be the equivalent of Second Amendment. You know, the right for us to bear arms against armed enemies, which is a God-given right, was long taken away. You know, taken away a long, 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 long time ago for a fucking reason, right? All part of what's going on now. But regardless of that, we are unarmed. So we don't have firearms. So what have you got? Well, you need to learn how to use a point and edge weapon. Well, you need to learn how to use a blunt force trauma impact weapon. Well, you need to understand what to target, what it's going to do, and why you need it, and what it disrupts. That takes the psychological willingness level to engage in violence to the next level. You know, are you willing to smash somebody's brains in with a fucking mace, or your makeshift mace, because she's going to kill you if you don't? Are you willing to use a blade? Are you willing to stab this individual? Now, obviously, if you could stab somebody in the eye, you know, and less than lethal injury and deal with the problem, then you would. But you must train for the preparation to go beyond that, to the point where you're fighting for your life and you have to end the subject. You have to end anyone you get your hands on. Right? Now, that will require a high level of combative skill, unarmed, the ability to use those two set weapons. Another part of that curriculum would be whenever you get the chance to shoot, learn how to use a firearm competently. So I was shooting every month when I was away. I'm shooting in the Czech, I was shooting in the US. I mean, all that's changed now, but I had plenty of flight time and opportunity. So if you travel and you have the same opportunity, you should learn how to shoot. If not, then you should be doing dry fire, cert gun training at home and stuff that you can do to replicate the skill. So now you have good unarmed skills. You know how to use a point and edge weapon, an impact weapon. You probably know how to use any improvised weapon of opportunity, and you can fucking shoot. That's useful, right? The next would be you need some tactical combat casualty care. You need to become capable of dealing with severe blood trauma. You know, do you know how to apply a tourniquet? Do you know how to wound pack? If there was an explosion, a shooting, a stabbing, a huge event where people were hurt. Could be a huge traffic accident, you know, or a crash of a train or something. Do you know how to, you know, help or save life immediately? And that's most likely going to be from stopping bleeding. So the key focus would be on, well, at least know how to apply a tourniquet, makeshift a tourniquet, at least know how to wound pack. And again, mindset would be required, because if you could imagine yourself actually doing that and you're at all squeamish, you can see where there's a big need first for a shift in emotional conditioning. You need to first of all accept this is happening. Third, now look at it anatomically and think, well, critically, what do I need? Now, why tier one civilians not going to fit most people is because the last three decades, at least, of modern man have been fucking pacified. They are beta male now. They're more worried about their fucking, you know, man bun and their fucking soy latte than they are about, you know, learning how to protect what they love. That hunter-gatherer thing, again, alpha male has been bred out through societal condition. Again, part of a fucking reason. But the alpha male still exists, and it exists in the fucking psychopaths that rule the world, and it exists in the criminal. You know, there's plenty of people over from war-torn countries that know what it's like to fucking starve and have to rob to eat. And they're willing and they're game. And, you know, that's a real threat. And, you know, we're not being governed correctly here at all. So there's a chance that any of those things can happen and are happening. And there was a need for a skill set. So the combative skills would be one, but also tactical combat casualty care. You know how to, you know, wound pack, like I said, know how to do what to do with a deflated lung, whatever. Then potentially you would extend the skill set onward from that. I mean, if you got that far and then added to that EDC, so everyday carry. So if you're a tier one civilian, you're prepped, you're ready. You're not a geek, you're not fucking a gadget squad, but you got what you need, you know? If you look at the two great books, 100 Deadly Skills by that ex-SEAL.
Yeah, quick.
Really fucking good. Top notch knowledge. You know, a big part of my research was him and people like him. This tier one civilian doesn't all come from me. It comes from the right people that are good at those things coming together eclectically. And, you know, it produces. Let me say this, right? So if currently the self-protection trainee who does a bit of Krav Maga has had one or two scuffles, there's a chance he's going to deal with a Larry bloke in the pub. He'll have a go at that. He might even deal successfully with a mugging. But you ain't ready for that level of violence and that level of brutality. But it's here. It's at your fucking door. Savages are at the gate, mate. So, you know, you need to equip yourself if you can. Most people won't have the mentality for that right off the bat. But if you've got the mentality, you're okay. Well, I intend to protect my family. So what does tier one mean? Tier one means the best of the best. So if you're talking even high level military special forces within that, there's probably five or six groups that are the elite, right? So the best of the best, tier one. Well, if you apply that analogy to just a citizen, an everyday citizen, but a citizen that want to be able to protect those he loves and wants to be able to be probably the only person that is capable in the moment, keeping his head and doing something constructive to save life. You know, in a mass shooting or an active threat situation or civil unrest, gone mad, whatever. But being the only one capable, not the headless chicken that's fucking panics and runs for the exit, or the one that freezes like a rabbit in headlights, the one that is switched on enough to look at the environment in a different way. So even awareness would change. So if you were to go in a restaurant, for example, tier one civilian, when it's just a normal self-protection training, may like look around and that'd be it. Might look at, oh, what could I use if I had to? But probably not, probably took no notice. Whereas a tier one civilian would be looking at that building as they entered from a three-dimensional perspective. They were looking at, right, this is the patron's entrance. Where's the this is the customer entrance. So where's deliveries come? Where's staff go? Oh, that's that exit there. Making the taking note to look for that. So now there's more than one way out, in and out. Do you know what I mean? Whereas most people are walking in a place and if something happened, they run straight back to where it's come from, you know, where they came out of. Well, look for the fire exit. Look for the service entrance. You know, because if there's more than one fucking entrance, there's more than one fucking exit, which means you've got more options now. Should something come in and you needed to escape, everything would be geared around. In all cases, I'm not trying to be Jason Bourne here. In all cases, it's geared around run, hide, fight, dynamic. Regardless, you know, it's an active threat situation. People are running. But do they know how to run? Probably not. Have they thought about where the exits are? Have they thought about the factor that if you run towards a threat, it's facing you at 10 to 2. It's going to see you. It's going to kill you. if you want to get out, you need to somehow flank and get behind 10 to 2, stay low and move with purpose. Now, there's a good chance you're not going to be seen as you find your way to an exit. But if you can't exit, hide, let's say. I'm giving you an example from the Tier 1 civilian book that applies to active threat. But Tier 1 civilian applies to any situation at all. You know, it could be anything. But you are the person that's willing in that moment to keep your head and do something, and you're actually of use. Do you know what I mean? So if you had to hide in a building, you're with your people or a small group of people, you know, do you know how to barricade the door inward? Do you know how to barricade the door from opening it or stop it from opening outward? You know, well, simple knowledge like that is out there. You know, a door that shuts in and it's got that rail thing at the top. Right? If you'd have said to me before I knew this stuff, how do you barricade that? It took me a while to figure it out. But all you've got to do is take off a belt and belt off the top. Can't open the rail. Didn't know that immediately. And then that got me curious. So I started to do a lot of research. And all I did is I put a lot of good people who I all resource and give credit for all in one place. And, you know, Tier 1 civilian was born. And in terms of EDC or kit, you know, a person would have the means for an improvised weapon, let's say. They'd have communications. They'd have means, so a credit card or cash or whatever else if they need to quickly get out of Dodge. They'd have a weapon by design where legality allows, a concealed firearm, if you've got a permit, or you know, tactical folding blade, whatever the fuck. But obviously, within the UK perspective, where the law is, as I said, that would have to be some kind of improvised tool that it wasn't a weapon by design, but had weapon attributes. So maybe, I don't know, flashlight, tactical pen, whatever the fuck, but something you could use as a spike or an impact tool. Hence the reason I say, you know, have good impact tool weapons and blade weapons, you know, blade skills, because wherever you are on the planet, you'll either find something odd or something pointy. And, you know, you're going to learn to use it. It goes right back to the fucking caveman, that does. But, yeah, so you'd have those kind of skills. Maybe also now, as a supplement to that, if you're really into it, you might have took a course on offensive defensive driving. So now you know how to get the fuck away. Maybe you've done a little bit of bushcraft just in case you've got to get out of Dodge for 3 days and live in the woods. Maybe you understand urban survival. Where can I find water in a city if this goes down and whatever, the grid's gone? That kind of stuff, real fucking useful skills for the new age. Do you know what I mean? And it takes a certain kind of individual that to want to be that motivated or to even have the spark in the first place. But that's what it is. And it also continues with like methods of counter custody. So if somebody travels like I do, I travel to third world countries quite a lot to teach. You know, I've taught in the Philippines, Thailand, South Africa, Russia. And in these places, well, particularly the Far East, you know, there's a real chance you're going to need to use some skills, you know what I'm saying? So, and there's chances as a Westerner, let's say, that you could be taken for ransom money. So counter custody skills would be, so I understand what I mean by that, unlawful custody. So if somebody unlawfully tries to snatch you, let's say you're in Brazil and someone will pull you in a van and they want to put a target on your head because you're white, or you're Australian or you're American or whatever. Right, so let's face it, that's a fact. And he would initially probably bag you, zip tie you, or initially just throw your hands together and wrap you up with duct tape and quickly move you or bundle you in a vehicle. Right, they're not going to secure you too well in the beginning, which is your window of opportunity. So, do you know how to break zip ties? Do you know how to break duct tape? Do you know how to do it destructively so you can break free? Do you know how to do it so it's non-destructive, so I could, if I needed to, take my hand out but put it back in should my captor still be around? That kind of stuff. Counter custody is one more thing, but there's several skills, and they eclectically accumulate to a very useful civilian. So if I said to you, well, how can I make you the best self-protection trainee that you could be? I mean, the best of the best of that would be Tier 1.
But there's so much in that I'd love to unpack. But,
I can, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of it, but you send me an email, I'll send you the first book.
Yeah, absolutely.
On a PDF, and you'll get a greater understanding of it. And it makes sense to you. You'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
so many parallels of what you just said and things that, you know, I've been talking about, and a lot of other guests have been talking about. I don't think
it's the way forward. I think what I'm noticing is you know, some of my peers, I've got to say to them, you know, you're not necessarily moving with the modern threat enough. Do you know what I mean? And now, of course, it's evolved further. But I think there's a need for a shift in mentality and a shift in skill set.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got to, first of all, come from willingness. And like I say, you know, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, there's so many things I relate to there. I might have told the story before, but I did my first bodyguarding training in 2005, I think, right? In 2005, when we did a section on terrorism and counterterrorism, terrorism was still, I won't say it was predictable, but at least it had patterns. And it was easy enough to identify what were the likely to be targets, because terrorism costs money, right? Coordinated terrorist attack, there was planning, there was resources, there was financing.
Oh, there's always resources.
Right? There's all this stuff that had to happen first, right? Whereas, and then we moved into this era of what they called outsourced terrorism, where then a terrorist attack didn't have to involve large apparatus. It could be one person with a grievance and a blade or a rental truck who can then write a dissertation or write a letter saying, I'm doing this in the name of whatever group. And now you've got a terrorist attack, so that it wouldn't necessarily have to happen in London. It wouldn't have to happen in New York. It could happen literally in a town of 400 people, and it would be just as deadly. It doesn't have to make sense to on a larger political scale. The other thing that
I'll find, a little sleepy town like that even sends more of a message, really.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting about what you said, there's parallels with a guy named Matt Larson, who's a director of combatives at West Point.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt talks about being the warrior in the room. And his black belt test to become a combatives black belt under Matt, he talks about the, you need to be able to fight, you need to be able to shoot, you need to be able to save lives, and you need to be able to drive. So you need to have advanced driving skills. So that's the black belt test. And it's interesting to think about.
That's tier one in a nutshell then.
It is, yeah. I mean, but most of his guys are, they're war fighters, right? So they're operating in hostile environments, so that it's more of a no-brainer for them. What you're talking about is, how do we apply those skills as a civilian and open your eyes a little bit to what the potential threat profile is and how that's evolved over the years?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's evolved again. So to be honest, I used to work with a lot of, military and law enforcement groups. But in some of the recent behaviour that I've seen going on in London, people are just standing up for freedom, and they're sending the police in heavy-handed and beating on people. And I've seen it. I really have seen it. You won't see it in the media, but I've seen it. It kind of made me lose a lot of respect for them. So I'd be choosing my side if I was them, and I'll be definitely considering who I teach in the future. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you've got to look closer to home for, what the modern enemy is. You don't need me to spell this out, do you? Do you know what I mean? You can edit this out if you want. I don't mind. But, I say it as I fucking see it, and I know what I see. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Let's talk about the mindset piece that you talked about, because I think that's worthy of some further exploration. Cool. One of the things when I started, the first frustration for me as a professional instructor, it was years ago. I took a job doing aggressive behavior management for a health department, government health department. And I was training everybody from the cleaners to the nurses to the doctors to the psych nurses to everybody. Right? And we weren't doing hardcore combatives. We were doing...
Sorry, is this something you've always wanted to do, Joe?
The self-protection stuff? Yeah. It's always been... Yeah,
basically. You've got a spear to it.
Sorry?
You got steered to it.
Yeah, right. It's, there's a long story where...
Well, it's all weird. I mean, we all have been. Mine was upbringing, but
For me, it was like from the age of six, I wanted to protect the kids in my school that were being bullied. I wanted to...
I relate, even though I got bullied myself. Yeah, you got that. So, you make a good bodyguard then. You got the right personality.
Thank you. But I was training these nurses, and... the hardest thing for me to understand, because I'd always been in the mindset of, occasionally you have to fight. But nurses typically are drawn to the profession because they're martyrs. I won't say martyrs because that has a negative connotation, but they care about people. They care about people. They want to help people. They want to fix people. And the idea of hurting...
The Bible.
Well, yeah, I always say all nurses, I generalize. But the idea of hurting a patient, even if that patient was trying to hurt you, was a really big mental shift for them.
Wouldn't be now, though.
Well, it depends. Emergency nurses didn't have a problem with it whatsoever. Up to 5 years in an emergency department, they hate everybody anyway. But
you just work at an A&E on a Saturday night as security, you'll soon hate everyone.
Yeah, you quickly lose any illusions you may have. But
yeah, I've had more situations, well, as many there as I had on a nightclub tour.
Oh, absolutely. Hospitals, I think, were one of the more hostile environments I've ever worked in.
Yeah, definitely.
But how do you go about, I know you say T1C isn't for everybody, but how do you go about sort of helping someone to achieve that mindset of, you know what, this is real, and you may have to do things that you're not comfortable with, that you don't want to visualize, that you don't want to have to acknowledge that, like there's a significant difference between saying, yeah, gouge an eye and put a finger three knuckles deep into someone's skull. Like there's a difference in what that sensation is and a comfort level to access that level of force.
Well, there's a very simple way to make you get it or not, and that's to make you contemplate loss, you know. But in terms of how do you install that, well, I run a tier one civilian series of programs that, to be fair, I mean, been quite closed door since all of this event, and really haven't got to where they are because can't travel. So, you know, there was lots of plat, but everything is, you know, prepared. And basically, everybody could take elements of this. You don't need to necessarily know how to fight, right? If you can't fight and you can't use an up close and personal weapon, but you live in a country where you can shoot and go to the fucking range and learn how to shoot, you're going to much more likely now get the willingness and the mindset, well, yeah, this has got to be done with a gun, than you will hand to hand or with a knife. It's much more personal. You know, but you, if you were taking it to where it could go, you'd have to have that willingness straight off the bat. But you could have no willingness to fight at all, but learn from the evasion, learn from how I see the environment now. I'm not seeing it in condition yellow, relaxed in yellow. I'm in condition yellow alpha, where I'm actively scanning for a threat. What you would have called everybody as being fucking paranoid, would be the kind of emotional state that depicted your level of awareness in that moment. If you were in a potentially hostile environment where this kind of thing was seen to happen, you need to be fucking actively scanning, you know. But I mean, if somebody works in that environment or lives right around the corner from it, because understand, if you're in that kind of emotional state all the time, you are living in condition orange, and condition orange is a state of alarm. So if you look at all the fear mongering with what's going on, that's why you should turn off the fucking media. People are just completely in sympathetic nervous system. They are living in fight or flight response. Oh, I'm going to get the COVID. Oh, folks, someone's going to get it. Oh, this person's going to, oh, this is going to happen. For fuck's sake. I mean, look at what's going on. It's purposeful almost. You know what I mean? And it's keeping people in this fight or flight state constantly. And that's going to literally shit all over your immune system. So your immune system is just going to die flat on its ass, and you'll get the first cold that comes around. They might even kill you. And then you'll blame this so-called thing going on. You know, you'll blame somebody like me because I ain't got a mask on, because I won't fucking wear a nappy. But, you know, it's a real, there's been a shift, and there's a real need to evolve emotionally and catch up, you know.
Yeah, I also like what you said there, mate. You can take bits and pieces of this, and I think.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, somebody could learn, really get switched on awareness, because maybe he learns to concentrate on verbal dissuasion and de-escalation. You know, maybe he's just a bit more fucking street smart, and he gets to get gone, because the best self-protection of all is see it and avoid it. Don't fucking be there. Do you know what I mean? No one wants to play, you know, John Wick here. You know, somebody had to kill somebody in order to get six people alive and out of the room without you all getting hacked to pieces. That person's never going to be the same again. On an emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual level, he will be different. You know, that takes a level of willingness. And like I said, you know, that that kind of instinct in modern man has been bred out of them for the last three decades. Social conditioning, what they put in the food, what they put in the water, fucking chemtrails, call it what you want. But it's been geared towards pacifying, you know, the hunter-gatherer type male. So it's old school now. When they're gone, they're gone.
And I think when you change the social norms, it becomes harder to deal with deviating from the norm in a way. Like, you know, like our ancestors, like we've pretty much all descended from people that probably have taken a life at some point. Like somewhere in your ancestry, you're going to have someone who's had to fight for their life, whether it was 1,000 years ago or not. And I think when that's... I
mean, you've probably had to do it yourself in a past life.
And you alluded before about, there are people that are coming from war zones that know what it's like to struggle and
yeah, absolutely. Alpha male's not dead. So I mean, he's alive and well in the criminal and the psychopath. He's absolutely alive and well.
So for that person in that kind of environment who's had to take a life, for example, I mean, the trauma of that is less. And I'm hypothesizing, but I would say the trauma of that is less because it's socially accepted that that's a reality.
But maybe you just learn a skill. You learn how you take offensive defensive driving. And you manage to evade a situation. That's all part of tier one civilian training. Imagine that you took just a tactical emergency medical part. Yeah. And you know, now if you're a tier one civilian, really you need to have kit. You need three sort of tiers to EDC. There's personal carry, vehicular carry, and what you'd have in your home, your dwelling. But have you got the means to improvise a weapon or use a weapon by design? Have you got comms? Have you got means? Have you got at least a small medical kit that could be applied to a tourniquet and a wound pack? You know, I mean, if you were out to look after your family and something, God forbid, happened, it's an explosion, a shooting, and a child got shot, caught in the femoral, would you know how to fucking stop that? Yes, you would, but where's your tourniquet? You know, so, could I at least know how to improvise it? I mean, you could take this to any number of levels. You could pick one thing and it'll make you more street smart. But if you took on the whole thing with some seriousness, took it on as a way of life now, then you got the highest probability of prevailing in the most dire situations. So understand, we're all going, you know what I mean? We all go out, we all shuffle off this mortal coil. You just got to choose how you want to live while you're here. And while you're here, you live the best fucking life you can, and I'm willing to protect it. So you really got to ask yourself on a mental shift level as a tier one civilian kind of psychology, it would be, what, ask yourself these questions. What do you truly want to live for? What in your life do you love? I mean, put this pandemic aside before this all happened. What was it about Joe Saunders' life that you loved, that you lived for? The good chance it might be a significant other, you know, it could be sick, your children, it could be your family, it could be your animals, it could be your dream, whatever the fuck, but that's yours and you want that, right? You know, so you have a God-given right to aspire, set goals and achieve them. But there's a good chance that at some point you are going to come across a stimuli that is going to force you to do something that you're not familiar with. So you've got to start to get the mentality for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to start to call. And that begins, like I said, you know, with accepting that it's here. But you've got those self-awareness questions have to be, what do I want to live for? Well, you know, once you identify the things you want to live for, then you ask yourself another question. Well, what would I be willing to die for? Well, probably those things. I die for my children. I die for my wife. I die, you know, for things that are really significant in my life. I die for my freedom, for my liberty, for my rights, for my family to be safe. You know, they're the things I'll fucking die for. Yeah, whatever. And then you ask yourself, well, in that case, then, what would you be willing to kill for? And you have to identify that in your, you know, because if you're facing something that's going to take away everything you love, there's only one way it's going to go. It's either you or them, and it ain't going to be fucking me. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to deal with it to the best of my ability, or I'm going to die doing it and you're coming. And that's the mindset that you need. And so that's a big emotional shift. But you'll get to it if you ask yourself those questions. What is it I really want to live for? You know, what is it I'm willing to stand up and fight for? What would I be willing to die for? What would I be willing to kill for? If you can answer those and you're a normal human being, you're not a sociopath or any of that, you're just a fucking normal, good, God-given person, you know, you will answer with true morality. You know, there shouldn't be any judgment on yourself. There's no choice. You've got a right to live. You've got a right to be happy and make goals and live your life and be free. And that's worth fighting and dying for. And it could, you know, come to that. So you've got to equip yourself. So it starts emotionally before you go anywhere else. You mentally got to rehearse that in your brain. You've got to see it. Use internal visualization. You know, so I won't go into it here, but there's a couple of clips. There's one clip that you could look at on YouTube on my channel, and it's called Managing Aggression or Managing Violent Behavior on an Emotional Level, something like that, managing something. But it's to do with willingness to take part against somebody that's trying to injure, you know, asking yourself those questions. So a lot of people can't find it within themselves to stand up and protect themselves, even though they're trying. You know, yet if it's a significant other, they'll do something about it. You quite often see that with a lady or with a woman. If she's attached, she might not capitulate. She might capitulate. She might not do something about it. But you touch a kid, she'll kill you. Yeah, so, you know, and you'll get that in the male population as well. You get some guys that, you know, will freeze and think, oh, just path of least resistance. And they get beat up. And someone try to hit their wife, they're fucking done. Rightfully, righteous indignation. Which is a God-given resource that we were given. We deserve God righteous indignation. So understand, if I'm using a level of aggression that is designed to deal with violence, righteous indignation is present. And what is that? That's my God-given right to stand up against evil and tyranny to prevent my life being taken. You know, I have a right to be indignated or indignified that you're trying to take my life. Fuck you. So it belongs. It's morally right. It's correct. It's ethical. You know, regardless of what they talk about in terms of legality, of course, you strive to stay within the realms of reasonable and necessary in any situation. But you've got to get your thinking right. So here's a quick example. Right. Because understand where combatives belongs, particularly urban combatives, you see, is at the extreme end of the self-protection scale. I'm not teaching somebody self-defense here. I'm teaching somebody self-protection. I'm not teaching somebody how to break away from someone holding your fucking wrists. I'm talking how do you deal with multiple armed assailants that are going to kill you? What's the best place to position myself? Where should my weapon be? What target am I going to take first? This kind of thinking. You know, that sort of level of skill is what's going to eclipse that. And then lady luck, really. You could have all of these skills and be shit at all of them and you could still fucking lose. There's no guarantees here. But all I'm saying is that if you had that willingness and you took that tier one civilian to where it could go, you would have the highest probability of success of prevailing in any environment that you find yourself in. That's what it's really all about.
Wow, folks, there was a lot to go through in that episode. Lee, very generous with his time, obviously never shy of an opinion, and that's what we love about him, right? That's why we bring Lee back, because he has a lot to share, and whether you agree with him or you don't, I'm sure he doesn't care. but he's certainly entertaining and he's interesting to listen to. So please support Lee. Our book of the week for this week is Living in the Deep Brain by Rory Miller. Those of you that listened to my last interview with Rory, you'll notice that we did the whole episode on this book, Living in the Deep Brain, so check that out. But if you consider intuition part of your self-protection strategy, then you need to read this book, because it gives tremendous insight into how to train and improve and listen to and make sense of your intuition. So I highly recommend Rory Miller, Living in the Deep Brain. Check out the link in the show notes or in the video description below. All right, folks, that does it for me for episode number 78 here with Mr. Lee Morrison. I look forward to talking to you next time.